Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You can say it better than that, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm very happy to be with you. Praise God. I have come back to Nigeria from our last visit because at the end of our trip last year, last August, I have been so many places it's difficult to remember where I've been. The Lord spoke to my wife and I very specifically that we were to return before the end of the year. So we put it into the works, and here I am again. Praise God. I believe that we as a people are living in a very critical time as far as the economy of God is concerned. There is a certain time limit that God has given us to achieve an objective that He has set when He created the world. Hallelujah. And that time limit, I believe, is coming to a close. There are many things that have been prophesied about this time as far as the coming of Jesus Christ is concerned. And one of them is the aspect of that, what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Now, I'm sure that most of you really don't want to hear about tribulation. We want to hear about good times. We want to hear about prosperity. Brother, nice to see you. Want to hear about prosperity. We want to hear about the goodness of God and all of those things. Yes, praise God. And I like to hear about all those things too. But if I don't fulfill the obligation that is upon me as a watchman that sits on the wall, then I'm going to be responsible for whatever comes upon you if I had the opportunity to warn you that it's coming and I did not warn you. Hallelujah. Now, whether you accept it as the word of the Lord or not, that is your business. That is not something that is my business. What I am doing is fulfilling the obligation of the burden that is upon me as a minister, as a physician, a servant of God. Hallelujah. And I don't mean one of these ministers. I mean as a fellow laborer in the gospel. There's a particular word that was given to me over 40 years ago. There was a particular word that came to Nigeria that was building on a word that was given to you, or some of you. I don't know if all of you were under the teachings of Paul Elton in the beginning. But when Paul Elton came, he was ostracized by the organizational church because of his beliefs in the reality of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there was a revelation that he had in the Bible concerning that pattern that was given to Moses that is called the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And I think that in some form or another, that is part of the name that you have put upon your association of fellowship. I think that word tabernacle is in there, isn't it? Hallelujah. And I know that, I don't know if many of you were here 24, 25 years ago when we came. Hallelujah. But when we came 25 or 24 and then coming consecutive for a number of years, I think personally I logged up about 18 years of coming to Nigeria, sometimes twice a year, but for sure every year up until about 2006. I came faithfully with the other team members consecutive years for about 17 or 18 years. Praise the Lord. So would you understand? I am not alien to your position, to your place. Or am I ignorant of the word that has been given to you? Hallelujah. And the word that has been given to you is a very peculiar, very special word. In fact, it says that the men of old and the prophets desired to look into these things concerning the word that you have, that you and I have received. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or maybe you don't believe it. Well, that's all right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think that time will manifest the aspect of the actuality or the reality of the word that we are, that I am bringing to you today. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know if you just look at Nigerian news or if you look at world news, but things are escalating in the world, and it's not getting any better. Everybody promises something better, and it always gets worse. Hallelujah. That's because there is a spirit that is working. Hallelujah. It's called the Prince of Darkness. It's called the Spirit of Perdition. And it's working to bring to naught anything and everything that is God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And and if you look at, you know, if you look at the news concerning the U.S., if you're a spiritually perceptive person, I would think that you could see the degradation that is coming in to us as a people, to us as a society. Whereas we have on our dollar bill, in God you trust, hallelujah, we are eradicating God out of all of the visual sight of our society. Hallelujah. They are erasing any sign or any aspect that points to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, God created the United States, allowed the United States to come in for one particular reason. And that reason was the preservation of the gospel. Hallelujah. Up until the time that the United States was established, one of the major players in the spreading of the gospel was the United Kingdom. They were very missionary conscious. They were very missionary orientated, and there were people there who had the burden to go out. Many people came to Africa. Many people died here in Africa. David Livingstone as one of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all of those nations, as they begin to eradicate God consciousness, as they begin to work against the righteousness of God that was being promoted in the land, they begin to fall as a nation. Hallelujah. And we are seeing now the crumbling of that nation called the United States. Hallelujah. And brethren, if you don't think that the falling of the United States will not have a catastrophic event as far as you as a people is concerned, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. You are very mistaken. And because it is one of the last, what do they call it? Bastions? Huh? Bastions is the word. For religious liberty. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And that is slowly but surely being killed. That is slowly but surely being eradicated. And when you begin to eradicate the God consciousness of a people, then you move from humanity to beast mentality. Hello?
Right.
Hallelujah. Because if you are a Bible student, when you look at the Bible, when it talks about the mark or the 666, it's not something physical that they are going to put on you. It's not something that they're going to put in your hand, put on your forehead. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. It is a nature. It is the fullness of the nature of man without God. And God calls that nature perdition. He calls that nature a spirit of perdition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we see this time frame. We see this aspect of experiences that are going on in the world today. And I did a study one time on demographics of population. And I wanted to find out the relevance to me as a person, as well as relevance to us as a people. When I say a people, of Christian origin, of Christian mentality, of Christian position of living. Hallelujah. And most of the different types of societies that United States, Europe, the many different Germans, Czech, as well as in African and the different areas, most populations are becoming extinct. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Now, these are not my statistics. You can go on the internet. You can begin to search population demographics. You may have to look a little bit, but you can find them. And if I remember correctly, just to maintain yourself as a people, you have to get somewhere between 2.2 and 2.9 children per family. That's just to maintain the status quo. That doesn't mean you're growing as a society or as a people. You need 2 to 2.9 children per family in order to maintain that. Most civilizations right now, our societies, our nations, they are producing 1.9 or less, depending upon the society of people. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at that, that frightens me. And I was in Czech Republic a couple of years ago. I'm just giving you some facts to back up what I want to share with you this morning. I was in Czech a couple of years ago, and the Czech Republic, and there was an article in their paper by their leading anthropologist. Now, they are those people, I suppose, that look at the aspect of society and the essence of their living. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was very interesting. Now, when I looked at the demographic, it said that Czech Republic people were only producing 1.6. This was a couple of years ago. 1.6 children per family. Hello? Now remember, it's 2 to 2.9 to maintain. So if you're producing 1.6, that's bad news. Hallelujah. And this leading anthropologist said, she said that in order for the Czech people to maintain their current lifestyle, they would have to import 1,900,000 immigrants to maintain, to fill in the spaces and to do for them what they're not willing to do. Hello? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, you look around and probably you don't have that difficulty, maybe. I don't know. Hallelujah. But you're not an island by yourself. Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because, you see, the devil is not interested in segmented position of occupation. The devil is interested in global occupation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in order for the devil to have that position of occupation, he must eliminate you and I as Christian entities that would resist him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, where do you think they're getting those immigrations from? Where do you think those people are coming from? Hallelujah. Well, they're coming from the Middle East. is where they're coming from, into not only into Czech, but into Germany, into London, into the Ukraine. They're coming into Hungary. They're coming into all the different lands. They're coming into Canada. They're coming into the United States. Gaddafi, before he fell, hallelujah. But you know what he said? He said the European Union would be ours in 10 years. Now, this is all recorded. This is on the internet if you want to go looking for it. And he says it will be ours without one shot fired. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brethren, things are serious. And, you know, it's really right on your doorstep. The farther north you go, hallelujah, the more trouble you see. And that trouble in the north is now infiltrating and coming south. Hello? Hallelujah. When I was here 20-some years ago, there was a vision that came. And in the vision, in one of the fellowships, there was a map of Nigeria. Hallelujah. And there was a split from one corner that ran diagonally. Hello? Hallelujah. From the top of Nigeria all the way down to the coast. And it was fire. And that fire was wanting to break over, break through. Does anybody remember that vision? Hello? Do you remember it? No? Hallelujah. You remember it. Praise the Lord. If somebody has it somewhere, it would be good for you to go back and look at it. Because it is now knocking at your door. Hallelujah. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, wasn't it 2 years ago? In Port Harcourt conference, the Lord said to me that he was going to bring civil war. Hello? If the church did not repent. That was 2 years ago. Hallelujah. And there were some people there. You can get the tapes. It's on the tapes. All of it is there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm not telling this to scare you. I'm telling this that you might go to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't take my word for it. Did you hear me? Don't take my word for it. Get down to business with God. Get into the Word of God. Get into God. Have Him talk to you. Hallelujah. And in the talking to you, be sure to ask Him, what do I do? Hallelujah. And we do not have much time. Hallelujah. Quite frankly, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, every visit you think, well, will I ever be back again? Hallelujah. And that is a valid question for me, you understand. Hallelujah. Because there are many places that God is sending us to with this particular message. And there are people that are hearing it and are coming alive because of it. Hallelujah. And of course you want to concentrate your energy. You want to concentrate your strength where people are listening, where people are wanting to hear the revelation of the end time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One country in particular that I am now working in very much, it reminds me a lot of Nigeria. Hello? When we first came. Because when we first came, we came and we began to minister to the university students. Hallelujah. In the university fellowship. Hallelujah. And we have been going into this particular country almost for 7 years, bringing the kingdom of God, bringing this word of the tabernacle, Hallelujah. I personally have been going in there for about 5 years, staying 1 month, 2 months, and going to various places, hammering against the religious, ecumenical, ecclesiastical system. You understand? That is so incorporated into our brain, into our soul. If we don't have it, we feel like we're not having church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have been in more churches than I have been in my entire life. Hello? Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran. I was even in an Episcopalian church. Hallelujah. Preaching this message of the kingdom, bringing this word of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the aspect of what it was that you have received so many years ago. Hello? Hallelujah. So, brethren, we are living in serious times. And it behooves us to be cognizant of our position of responsibility. Hallelujah. I have an accountability. I have a responsibility to God and to this word as well as unto you. Hallelujah. And there is something that that God had intended concerning the word that you received in the beginning. It was to accomplish something. It was to bring you to a position or to a place. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to draw the tabernacle up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the gate. This is the door. And this is the veil. There are seven works. Hallelujah. Of grace that is supposed to happen concerning your experience with God. Hallelujah. Seven works of grace. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the revelation here of the Word of God that has come to us concerning the pattern that is like an anchor. Hello? Did you hear me? That comes to us that has the responsibility to bring you from where you are out here in the world to where it is that God wants you to be. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
It says that without a vision, the people will perish. Now, if your vision is just to get into heaven, hello? You have a wrong vision. If your vision is to escape hell and get to heaven, you have a wrong vision. Because that is one of the benefits of the word that God has brought us. Hello? Hallelujah. This is one of the words that God has brought us. And there is the first work of salvation. Hello? And then there is baptism. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is not the totality of the message. If you build yourself a church here over this altar, and you become evangelical, you become evangelical in nature. Hello? Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
And you can have an end time word and have the evangelical nature. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you stop here, hallelujah, in baptism, you are not only evangelical, hello, but you are Pentecostal. You have a nature that is evangelical and Pentecostal. But if you build that, hallelujah, all you have is an outer court ministry. That's all you have. You just have an outer court ministry. Now, and this outer court ministry will not do what it is that God had said that he wanted to do.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The door, this entire structure is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word, as this book is prophetic, Old and New Testament. Hello? Do you hear me?
Yes.
It means that it was, it is, and it shall be. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's prophetic in nature. God said in Isaiah, he said, no word of God. Huh? What does he say? Anybody know the scripture? Shall go out of my mouth. Huh? But it will go out and accomplish. That's important. It will go out and it will accomplish what I have sent it out to do. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And the word of God comes from God. That comes from what? Out of that position, out of that place, or out of that realm that represents God. You understand? The instructions to Moses was that I will meet with you where? Huh? Between the wings of the cherubims in the Holy of Holies. So, brother, tell me. If I stop here, have I accomplished what God wants? If I stop here, have I accomplished what God wants? What if I stop here? Huh? It still has not done what it was that God desired to do. Now, what is it that God wants from me concerning the word that he gives me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What God wants is change. Hello? What God wants is change. Hallelujah. Change from here to here. Praise the Lord. Let me read a scripture to you. Before I read the scripture, I want to ask you a question. Do you think God changes his mind? Do you think God changes his mind? Thank you very much. Nobody's answering me. Are you afraid of me?
I think he can change his mind sometimes.
Huh? But it's not scriptural. No. It says there is no shadow of turning. What does he say? I am the same. So he doesn't change his mind.
What about when he says, and he repented God that he made man?
Yes.
So he took twice in destroying man.
But he did not repent of the position or the place of the aspect of what it was that he wanted to do. He was disappointed with man, and that man would not accomplish what it was. He was playing around with fire and getting burned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But God doesn't change his mind. Okay, I'll give you a good example of it. When the children of Israel rebelled against God and would not do what God wants, God came to Moses and said, I'm going to wipe them out. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to raise up of you, Moses, a people. What did Moses do? He interceded for the people. It was really more of a test for Moses than it was for God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Not one of those individuals over the age of 20 made it into the promised land. They all died. So God fulfilled his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Concerning the aspect of what he said that he was going to do. Hallelujah. So God does not change his mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every one of them dropped. Every one of their bones died in the desert. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what was God's thought? What was God's intent when he created man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's told to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Praise the Lord. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what else? Okay. He wanted to make man like unto himself. And just so you don't think that God was not being very specific, go to Romans chapter 8 when it talks about us being sons of God. And go, if that isn't enough, go into 1 John and look at the scriptures that says that when we are changed, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. So the thought in the beginning with regards to man was that he would be like God. Hello? Hallelujah. As I said to you before, this is a prophetic word. This whole thing is a prophetic word. If you were to look at the curtain, and it's not only that it's a prophetic word, that is a prophetic word that speaks into the environment. Hello? Hallelujah. God is always endeavoring to plead with man to bring him to a place of salvation. Hello? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. He pleads with man to bring him to a place of salvation. That's why in John chapter 1, I believe it is, he says, this is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. So it doesn't make any difference who you are, what you are, what your faith is, or what darkness you are born under. Somehow, some way, God has to make you aware of the fact that you need him as a God. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, we spent quite a bit of time going in and out of India. And we had a seminar in what was then Madras. I think it's now called Chennai. Hallelujah. And there were many pastors that were coming to this seminar. And many of them had come from out in the bush. Hallelujah. And many of them had been Hindus. Hello? Hallelujah. And there were so many testimonies of how God appeared to them. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Out there in the bush, one man in a drunken stupor told us that he was walking through the bush one day, and there was a set of circumstances that was detrimental to his life, and he called out to his Hindu God to save him, and instead he got God. Hallelujah. He said a man in a white tunic appeared to him and ministered to him, and not only that, brethren, but he said there were men that he was sending to teach him the aspects of who and what he was. Hello? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when he met us, he said to us, you are those men. I'm just telling you the testimony. So God is able to move, to work in circumstances, but I have the responsibility to decide. Hello? Do you hear me? I have to decide, I can say yes, I can say no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is that this pattern is a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It had a curtain on the entrance of it that was white linen. Hallelujah. White linen is a prophetic word saying of righteousness. It had thread woven through the material or the fabric. It had a scarlet thread, hallelujah, which is indicative of the blood. It had a purple thread, which is indicative of your position of royalty or sonship. Hello? All of these things in the Bible, they are prophetic symbols that speak of the goodness of God. Hello? Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One day, I'm a builder, by the way, by choice. Well, I'm retired from that now, but I was a builder for over 20-some years. And when I look at something, I always am looking from a builder's perspective. One day, hallelujah, I was looking at this gate, right? And the gate is 20 cubits. Hallelujah. The gate is 20 cubits. From this side of the gate to this side of the gate, it is 20 cubits. Hallelujah. It is four posts. Had one here. It had one here. It had one here and one here. Four is the number of tribulation. Hello? It says that we enter the kingdom of God through what? Not just tribulation. Much tribulation. Oh boy. If you don't like tribulation, go through and start crossing them out of your Bible. Huh? Hallelujah. Tribulation is a way of living. Sorry. It's a way of life. If you want the end of the day. What you want at the end of the day. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I did not get saved because I wanted to get saved. I was in tribulation. I was in trouble. I was in trouble. My life was in trouble. I was going into hell and I knew it. You understand? I knew I was going into hell. And I did not want to go to hell. Hallelujah. Now where I got that belief, it must have been, you know, my mother was Southern Baptist. And of course they would bring us to church and whatnot, drag us in and out. And all of that preaching of heaven and hell must have registered in my being. Hello? I did not want to go to hell. Hallelujah. I didn't know necessarily that I wanted to even go to heaven. But what I did know is I did not want to go to hell. So when God offered me an opportunity to escape hell, I took it. I don't know. Maybe your circumstances were different. Hallelujah. I don't think so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, like I said, I'm a builder. Huh? So one day I got to thinking, 20 cubits, 3 spaces. Huh? What does that give me? It gives me 6.66. 6.66. 6.66. Hallelujah. What is the number of the fullness of man? 666. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this gate is prophesying to me. He says, you have a pernicious nature. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. You are going to hell. Not only are you going to hell, but you're going to join the pernicious nature that is being formed and produced in the earth and become part of the Antichrist system. Hello? Hallelujah. Huh? Or maybe you don't believe that. I don't know. 666. Hello? But with all of those threads and all of those prophetic colors of that are woven within the fabric that is white, that is righteousness, you know, it is saying, I can change. Now, if you're an accountant, you can sometimes change those numbers, round them off, it goes 7, 7, 7.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this is God's mathematics. This is God's mathematics, not my mathematics. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, you have a pernicious soul. You have darkness in your being. Hello? But I can change it. I can transform you. What does it say? We are translated where? Okay, kingdom of darkness. Praise God. So anything outside of here is what? Kingdom of darkness. Hello? Are you in agreement? Are you sure? Huh? You want to say amen to that? You sure? Hallelujah. All right. Kingdom of darkness. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Kingdom of darkness. Who is the prince of darkness? Huh? Hallelujah. Who is? Satan. Hello. Do you believe that? So anything outside of here, huh? Prince of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, kingdom of prince of darkness, and we're saying that Satan is the ruler. He is the ruler of all of this kingdom, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So what then is this? Huh? Kingdom of light? Is that what you said? Or light? What's both? John chapter 1. Huh? John chapter 1. So it's light and light. Hello? Hallelujah. Light, light, and life. Hallelujah. And God is the ruler of this kingdom, right? Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So when we accept the blood of Jesus Christ and we receive that light that comes from God, hallelujah, and we have the life of God in us, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we instantaneously changed from the darkness that we were to the light that we are to become? Hallelujah. Well, I wish that were true. So, if we are out here in the kingdom of darkness, I am spirit.
Boy, that one don't work too good.
I am spirit. Huh? I am soul. And I am body. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Want to identify it as a human entity. So now darkness is becoming more definitive. Huh? Do you agree? Hello? It's now not. I am Romans 5. What does Romans 5 say? Hallelujah. You know Romans 5, right? Everybody knows Romans 5, especially if you evangelize. Huh? Therefore, by one man, verse 12, sin came into the world, and so entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Now it says, for all have sinned. Hello? Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Want to make sure we're on the same page. So prior to your acceptance of Jesus Christ, you were out here in the world and you were dead. Huh? So now we have a definition of darkness in the aspect of it being death. Hello? Now death is the nature. Hello? Because in Revelation, I believe it says that death and hell, what? Were thrown into the lake of fire. Isn't that right? Am I misquoting that? Hallelujah. That's in Revelations, right? Hallelujah. If it's a name, if it's something that describes something, the something it describes has to be an entity that is necessary for it to be thrown into hell. You understand what I mean? Hello? Hallelujah. So, it is a nature. Praise God. Nature, right here. And it is embodied in the aspect of what we are in the natural arena without the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now I'm going to get a little more specific. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? There was a man there by the name of Nimrod, I believe. And what did he do? He began to organize the people. He began to get them moving in a certain direction. And what was the direction that he began to get them to move in? It was rebellion. Hallelujah. It was a spirit of self-preservation. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they say that medical science says that the spirit of self, the self-preserving spirit is one of the strongest spirits that man has, regardless of who they are, where they are, or what they are. Hallelujah. Your instinct to stay alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is one of the strongest spirits that we have to deal with. Hallelujah. So it was a nature of rebellion. Huh? Rebellion. Brethren, we have to know what we are fighting. Do you hear me? Paul says, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, or maybe 1 Corinthians, I'd have to go look. Paul said, I am not as one that beateth the air. Huh? Well, maybe we should read that verse. Let's find it. Hallelujah. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. Praise God. Huh? Yeah, 2 Corinthians. The sixth chapter, praise God. Here we go, sixth chapter. Six is the number of man. Hello? I think numerics in the Bible are fantastic. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not strengthened in us, but we are strengthened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, that ye may also be enlarged. Now Paul is addressing a church that he himself helped to facilitate. Hello? So you know by virtue of the word that was given to them that they had a message of the end time. They had a sonship message. Hallelujah. But the devil got into church business. Hallelujah. Devil got into church business and was corrupting the people. Hello? Hallelujah. And moving them away from the objective. Hello? Because this gospel is not only something that Moses saw, it is something that Paul defined. He explained to us what some of these aspects are. Hallelujah. And they were moving away from it. And so he comes to them with a word. Praise God. As God is now coming to the holy place people. Hallelujah. So he says, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. With unbelievers. I want to stop there for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's not that you're not just to be hooked up with sinners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible has a verse that says, what does it say? You got to help me. Come on. Let they agree. Hallelujah. So, can you walk with somebody who is here? Evangelical church. Can you walk together with them? Huh? If your vision is here. Now, I'm not saying you can't be friendly with them, loving toward them, giving them the aspect of the truth or the revelation you have. But can you work together with them? Your objective is not the same. Your agreement is not the same. Not that they do not love the Lord. Not that they are not involved in their work and in Christianity. But they do not have the entirety of the Word of God. And if God brings you to them, God brings you to them for a purpose. God wants you to give them the Word of God. Hello? So that you can pull them out of their deception, out of their position of being stalled or bogged down in religion. Hello? Let me ask you a question. I've asked it in many different places on this trip, and I'm going to ask you. If you hire a man to do a job, and you give him a certain amount of time to do the job, hello? He's got to move this pile of big rocks from here. He's got to move it right over to here. Hello? You give him 2 days to do it. I will pay you so many naira to move all of those rocks over to here, but it has to be done in 48 hours. Huh? Hello? You come back in 48 hours and he only got half of the rocks moved. Are you going to pay him?
No.
No. I know you're not. Yeah? And he can argue with you till his lips fell off. Huh? But you're not going to loosen the power you have over your wallet to bless him. Hello? Huh? Because he agreed to certain aspects of terms concerning the job. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. If you will do that, how much more would God do with regards to me if I don't do what God has given me to do to finish? Hello? Hallelujah. Now, you could ask me, where did I come into that agreement? I came into that agreement right here. Huh? That's the labor, the brazen labor. Baptism. What does it say? Huh? That I, oh, let's keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians, and let us turn over to Romans again. I want to go to Romans 6. Hallelujah. Romans 6, that's again, there's that 6, number of man. Hallelujah. And I want to go to verse 3. Hello? Verse 3 is the number of fullness. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. Hello? The totality of that is the fullness of what you are as a human being. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you listening? Hallelujah. And that's the fullness of God. So here we have the fullness of the position of covenant relationship. How many of you know that when you were baptized, you were making a covenant with God? Hallelujah. 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 And it says, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Hello? Look at the life of Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he have to perform? How did he go about it in order to do what he needed to do in the aspect of his dying? Huh? He had to be a perfect offering. Do you understand that? God had to have a perfect offering. One without spot, one without blemish. And so when it talks about being baptized into his death, we are talking about death to self in the totality of what it is that we are. Hello? That's what this message is designed to do. But what exactly are you? Huh? Well, remember now, we have death, nature, rebellion, the nature of rebellion. Hello? Hallelujah. They decided, I'm going to jump back to Nimrod. I hope you're awake. Jump back to Nimrod. They decided to build a tower to escape judgment. Hallelujah. We have been inventing doctrines. The church has been inventing doctrines to escape judgment. Hallelujah. How about the doctrine, once saved, always saved? That means, I heard a preacher one time say that if I'm in the bed of fornication and the rapture comes, I will be raptured. I heard him from the pulpit. Big crowd. Hallelujah. It turned out that he and many in his congregation were in fornication. Hallelujah. Man wants an excuse to sin, and then he wants to build a religion that justifies his sin and eases his conscience. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, it's still hell. Hallelujah. And every time there's been a move of God, there has been a deception that God has brought into the devil has brought into the church to circumvent that move of God. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There have been several, I'm giving you a little church history. I don't know if you know it, so I'm just giving it to you. Hallelujah. There have been several moves of God. In the 1800s, there was a outpouring of the Holy Spirit in what they called the Welsh Revival. Hallelujah. You can go on the internet and get all this information if you want to. Hallelujah. Make sure I'm not telling you a story. Hallelujah. And there was a man called Irving. And he had in his congregation two sisters, and their name was McDonald. Hello? Hallelujah. And one of the sisters had a very long and detailed dream. And when she brought the dream to her pastor, the Lord told her when she was waking up, be sure to tell the brother that it is to be spiritually interpreted and it is not a physical thing. This is all recorded now. Hello? You know what he did? He took the vision and he began to call it rapture. Hallelujah. This was in the mid to late 1800s. Go on the internet. Look it up. Hello. Hallelujah. So we have now in the evangelical circles of Christianity, we have the doctrine of rapture. Hallelujah. Rapture is contrary to biblical principles. Revelation. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To him that overcometh seven times, seven churches. Hello? Hallelujah. Everyone, to him that overcometh, will I do so and so and so and so. If I don't overcome, what am I going to get? Nothing. Hello? Hallelujah. And if I have time, I can go into that aspect because it has to deal with the fifth station, the fifth church. I don't know that we will have time. Hallelujah. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? Now listen, brethren. We are identifying the aspect or the nature of that which we have to fight. So we have a nature of rebellion. Hello? That finds its root in self-preservation. Hallelujah. We all have to deal with it. Somebody crowds your space. Somebody pushes you and you feel like he's pushing you too much. What do? You get up in arms. Hallelujah. You push back. Why? You want your space. You want your position of personal respect. Hello? Hallelujah. If somebody looks down on you or treats you less, gives you less treatment than you think you deserve, what do? You get mad. Hello? You get your mad button pushed. Boink! Hello? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And it is the same no matter where you come from. Now, some societies of people are more aggressive in certain aspects of those soul manifestations. You understand? Hello? Hallelujah. And some people are more aggressive in this aspect of the darkness. Hallelujah. So what did God do? What did God do? Oh, come on, you Bible students. Huh? God said, let us go down. Let us go down. And confound their language. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they did. So God came down and he confounded their language. And then what happened? Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I have a word for you, sir. I have a word for you. I see you like a carpenter. And you have a board, and you're planing it, and planing it, and planing it. And I see it going on, but I am aware that it is not you planing the board. It is God and you being the board that God is planing. Because it has to fit in a certain place. It has to fit in a certain way. And it cannot be haphazard. It cannot be, well, that's good enough. It has to be perfect. Hallelujah. And many times that planning involves tribulation, agitation of circumstances and situation. Sometimes people come against us and they begin to say bad things about us and all of the things that go into that arena. Hallelujah. And you're not to look at it from a personal perspective. You're not to assume that this is something that is invading your space. But it is something that God is allowing to refine you, to bring you to a place to where He can take you out of what you are in and put you into a place. And I see like a thing in the wall that it has to fit. Hallelujah. And when it is placed in there, I'm seeing it as it is placed. When it is placed in there, it just blends in with the rest of the wall. You can't even tell that it was put in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you. It may not so much be that your circumstances now, but I'm saying to you, your circumstances will soon to manifest the reality of that planning.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what was I saying? We have... He confounded their language. Somebody's listening. Thank you. Hallelujah. He confounded their language. And then what happened? No. There's something else that happened. Huh? Something else happened. It's very significant. You got to remember. They begin to conjugate. Isn't that what they did? They begin to gather together in groups of like language. What happened? Huh? What happened? Hallelujah. Nations were born. Hello? Hallelujah. Nations were reborn. So, any and all nations under this scheme or plan is a rebellious nation. They are a rebellious people. Hello? Hallelujah. You know that the United States was formed on the aspect of rebellion? Hallelujah. So if you look at the USA, they are under that category, of rebellious people, of a rebellious nation, huh? Well, come on. We're not in there by ourselves, are we? How about Nigeria?
Amalgamation.
Huh?
An amalgam of different languages.
Yes. And you can, in Nigeria, you can say tribes, right?
Tribes, yes.
Huh? Thank you. Very good. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, if it is rebellious. Hello? It is of a rebellious nature. It is of a rebellious position of existence. Hello? So, when you get saved, hello? You become what? Born again. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, when you get born again, do you become perfect? Are you perfect now? I'm glad you said no the first time. Hallelujah. So you're not a finished product. Hello? Hallelujah. You're not a finished product. What happens is that you bring this perditious nature You bring this pernicious nature into the kingdom of light. Hello?
Okay.
Hallelujah. But because you accepted God, hallelujah, there was a seed planted in your soul. Hello? Go to Matthew chapter 13. And I think it's Luke 14, maybe. But chapter 13, it is the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to what? Sow. What was he sowing? Hallelujah. Now, you know, he was telling the Pharisees, he had his disciples there. Hallelujah. And the disciples, he did not explain it to the Pharisaical system. He explained it to his disciples. And because we have now that account, he's also explaining it to us. Hallelujah. And that seed, hallelujah, that is planted within your soul, hallelujah.
Amen.
Has the totality, has the absoluteness of everything God is. Hello? Are you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was not a human seed.
Okay, yeah.
Go to Luke chapter 1 and read the account of Mary. Oh, let's do that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 because the circumstances of Mary is as important as it was, as it is, as to what happened. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Now remember, Matthew chapter 7, 13, God explained to us that the seed was the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you still awake? Chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 28. Hallelujah. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Hallelujah. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her. Now, angel, the Greek word for angel is angelos. Hallelujah. And it means messenger. That's all it means. Messenger. One who has a message. He is carrying a peculiar and specific word. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just put your finger right there. Hallelujah. Boy, this is the first place I've been that I've had to use so much scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. All right, do you get the connection? Hallelujah. So the man, or the angel that was bringing the word, was bringing a message that contained within it the totality of what it was of God in the beginning. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when Mary heard that word, huh? Hallelujah. And as you go down through the circumstances, as you go down through the experience that Mary had, hallelujah, because at first she had a little difficulty in accepting the word. Hello? Hallelujah. She said here in verse 37, she said, the angel says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Hallelujah. Now, when you go into your lexicons and you go into your Greek and Hebrew, you find that this particular verse is a transliteration of Isaiah 55:10, the one that we talked about earlier on. Hallelujah. My word goeth forth out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Yes. Will not return to me void. Now you have to understand, we're talking about the word and the thing that it is, the totality of what it is consists of, and the fact that it is sown in men's soul. Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. So as it is sown, Mary finally came to a place of acceptance. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as what? According to thy word." Now, when we are baptized in water, when we enter into this covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, we are agreeing with the terms of that contract. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. And if you want to know the terms of the contract, you can find them in Jeremiah 31:31. Hallelujah. It says, "I will make a contract with them, a covenant with them, and I will not as the covenant that I made with their fathers, which covenant they break." Hello? Hallelujah. "And this will be the covenant. I will what? Write my laws upon their inward parts." Hello? Inward parts is talking about the soul of man. Hallelujah. So it is not a law that you have to obey. It becomes a principle that you fulfill. Hallelujah. In the aspect of who and what you are and what it is that God wants to bring you to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where God wants to bring you again, brethren, is into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are finding out now that we are still in a serious condition of jeopardy. Huh? Hallelujah. We have this seed within us, but the seed, hallelujah, the seed requires an environment in order to germinate. I have also been a farmer for about 15 or 16 years. Hello? God put me in these different professions just to teach me a lesson. Hallelujah. And when I go to look for seeds, I look for seeds that are tested, that are proven to be 99.9% germination. Hello? Hallelujah. Because they do germination trials on them. Hello? To see how many will germinate. They take 100 seeds, and if only 50 of them germinate, then it's a 50% chance of germination. But you want the seed because you want the return. You want the seed that has the 99.9% germination. Hallelujah. If you get that, then every seed is guaranteed to sprout. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, now we're not talking about a hybrid seed or a seed that man is experimenting with. We are talking about a perfect seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the way, just for you Bible students, the number, like the number, it, the number zero in the Greek and Hebrew is the word zaro, which means seed. Hallelujah. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hello, it was a seed that was deposited in your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as a farmer, I know now I've got the very best seed that I can have. But if I plant it in ground that is less than the quality of what I want it to be, I'm not going to get the total germinating factor out of that seed. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God has... So as a farmer, I have to make sure that my ground, hallelujah, hallelujah, is the right ground. And one of the factors of that parable in chapter 13 is that some of the seed did not produce the totality of what was in the seed. Was it the seed's fault? It can't be, because the seed is the Word of God. Hello? Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Some of that produced 30%. Some of it produced 60%. Some of it produced 100%. Did you see it? Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, this is just one of the factors that parable addressed. Hello? One day God showed it to me like this. He showed me three, like, tubes or test tubes. Hello? And this represents, hallelujah, this represents my soul, okay? This represents my soul. If I've got 30%, if I got 30%, if I got 30% light, how much darkness do I got? How much darkness? I got 90%. My goodness. I got 90% darkness. What are my chances of survival? What are my chances of survival? It says that the way, the road is, I always get it mixed up. The road is narrow and the gate, no, straight, and few there are that find it. Boy, I look at that and I say, am I one of the few? Hallelujah. I could do it a different way, and do it this way to be nice to you. This is my American heritage. I'm more American than I am Son of God. Hello? Hallelujah. So, if I got 60%, well, my odds increase a little bit, right? Boy, I keep getting that pin. My odds begin to increase a little bit. I end up with 40% darkness. Huh? Hallelujah. And I have 60% life. Well, that's better. So I'm only 40% American and 60% God. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, why would I want to settle for anything less than what it is that God wants me to have? Why would I do that? If God is offering me 100%, hallelujah, why would I want to do anything else? I can settle for less. Hello? I'm not saying you don't get into heaven, but you know, I got my doubts. Hallelujah. And this one is still out for, this one, far as I am concerned, for me, is still open for discussion. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is something that God has developed in His, in the economy of God to deal with this aspect. Hello? I have a mind. Huh? I have a mind. I have emotions. I have desires. And I have a will. All of these aspects, our natures, are contaminated with the reality of what I come from. They have to be changed. Change. Hallelujah. They took Jesus Christ when they were going to crucify Him. They took Jesus Christ and they interrogated Him for almost 48 hours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, you see, every lamb has to be examined by the priest.
Hallelujah.
And, of course, God could not trust that priesthood. Because they were not just looking for something, they were inventing things. But I want to tell you, or show you how precise God was. Hello? God went outside of the religious society. Hello? In order to get a pronunciation of cleanness upon this offering. Hallelujah. Yeah. So they took the man, they took him to Pilate. Hallelujah. And Pilate did his Pilate thing and did everything he could possibly do to get out from under the responsibility of it. But God would not let him get out from under that responsibility. Hello? In fact, Jesus really spoke the word that released Pilate to pronounce the verdict. Hallelujah. But what he said is spectacular. He said, "I find no fault in this man." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear it? Hallelujah. So the road was now clear. Hallelujah. It was an acceptable offering. Hallelujah. If God went to such trouble, hello, in order to get that pronouncement concerning that offering, how much more is He going to be working with us to bring us to a place to where we have that same position of perfectness? Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn with me back over into Hebrews. Oh boy, I lost it. Hallelujah. Okay, let us go back to Timothy first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go into Timothy. I want to go into chapter 3. Now, brethren, here again, Paul is writing to Timothy, but he's addressing the aspect or the problems that are in the church. Hallelujah. And the perfection, and he goes through a whole number of things. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Hallelujah. And that in therein is where all of our trouble comes from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lovers of our own self. And he goes through a number of things. He is talking to a church. Hello. Hallelujah. Down in verse 4, I'm just going to read the verse 4 before I go into verse 5. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hello. Hallelujah. All of these are indicative of our desire to have what is in the world. Hallelujah. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This power that he's talking about is the power of regeneration. It is the power of resurrection. It is the power of restoration and restitution. Hallelujah. Now go back into Corinthians with me again. I think it was 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? Hallelujah. You thought I forgot about it, didn't you? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Says, be not unequally yoked. Verse 14, chapter 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Hello? Oh my. I think I'm putting you to sleep. What communion does light have, or fellowship have, with darkness? Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's another verse I want to read to you, if I can remember where it's at. All right, I want to go to Romans first. Romans, the 8th chapter again. Hallelujah. Verse number 4 is the number of tribulation. That the righteousness of the law, or you could say that which is light, hallelujah, might be fulfilled. Hello? Hallelujah. In us who walk not after what? The flesh. Hello? Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh, hallelujah, but after the Spirit, hallelujah. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You could just as well say world and darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You're talking about this realm of God. Hello? That the righteous, for to be what? Carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life in peace. That means that if your objective or the things in your mind are always on these things that are out here concerning the nature of darkness and not on the things that concern the nature of light, he says, you are working and it will produce death, darkness. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen. Oh boy. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. We stopped that. For what communion has light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what hath he that believeth with an infidel? Hello? Hallelujah. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Hallelujah. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here again, we are having the statement of that position of covenant relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Brethren, God is calling us to a higher position of responsibility. God is calling us to a higher position of accountability. And we that have a holy place message, hallelujah, who are supposed to be a holy place church, hallelujah, are in jeopardy of being deceived. Hallelujah. Because the abomination of desolation does not come out of the outer courts, does not come from out here from the world. Hello? It's an abomination in God's sight because it is supposed to be a holy people doing a holy thing. And it is a people who have a holy place message and are doing the wrong thing. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil is not going to work religious deception on people who are not religious. Hallelujah. And you are a threat to God. Did you hear me? You are a threat to God. You are a threat. You are a threat to the devil. Sorry. Hallelujah. You are a threat to the devil. And he does not want you to wake up to the position of who and what you are. He does not want you to wake up to the position of what it is you have inside of you. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to wake up to it, because if you wake up to it, he's finished. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen.